Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this morning from Acts chapter 10. And I read verse 19 as text verse for the sermon. Acts 10 verse 19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. The theme for the sermon is the gospel has to go to the Gentiles. 3 points. First, God is guiding. Second, God is persuading. And third, God's counsel happens. So the theme is the gospel has to go to the Gentiles. 3 points. God is guiding. God is persuading. And God's counsel happens. Congregation, there was a mother, and she told her child to set a table. Children, you probably recognize that your mother, your father, sometimes tells you to do a certain chore. And what happens in those situations? Well, this child, this daughter, thought she was so busy with other things, she would do it, but not now. And so, while she was busy, she forgot about it. She didn't do it. Why would she not do it immediately? Probably she didn't like it. There were other things that had her attention and that she liked to do more. And then she forgot. She didn't do it. She had to be reminded. Her mother had to tell her again, I told you, do this. Her mother had, as it were, to take her hand and bring her to this task, that she would do it. We probably recognize it, that such things happen in our lives. We have to do something, but for any reason we kind of lay it aside. Maybe we're not conscious about it, but we don't know how to do it, or we don't like to do it, or it's too hard for us, it's too difficult, and we delay, and then we kind of forget about it. Well, isn't that something that we see happening in the lives of the disciples? We don't know to what extent they forgot about the words of the Lord, but it is kind of remarkable that when the Lord Jesus, before he ascended to heaven, he told them, he said, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, wherever in the world, the gospel has to go to the Gentiles. They do need to hear the gospel to be saved. And then on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is poured out. And Peter also said in his sermon that a promise is to all that are afar off. But then, what's next? Do you read that they immediately start to do this work? This great work to go into the world full of darkness and superstition, idolatry. How could they do it? Well, in the power of the Holy Spirit. But we do not read that they immediately went out and, yes, they had to start in Jerusalem, Judea, and Israel, Samaria, but also go further. But we do not read that they did go into the world. But then in this history, it's like God is taking one of them, taking in his hand, Peter, and bringing him to a Gentile. And in the previous chapter, we have read about the conversion. We could read about the conversion of Paul. He was the one that by the Lord would be used in a special way to go into the world to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And let's see how God is fulfilling his counsel here to a special situation, a special person, Cornelius, a Roman commander of a section of 100 soldiers of the army, and the Lord is working in his life and going to use Peter for this Roman commander, as a leader in the army. He was a man who was an example, and that's kind of remarkable. He was a man who was an example for all that knew him. He and his family, they fear the Lord, a devout soldier, devout leader of the army. So that's something that surprises us, isn't it? This Roman soldier, that he is a God-fearing man. You could say he was an outsider. But because of the war, he came into the land of the Jews and got to know the religion of the Jews, got to know about the living God who revealed himself in Scripture, a centurion in the army. And God has blessed this knowledge in his life. And he read that he is a God-fearing man. But he was in a situation that he did have this knowledge from the Old Testament, but not yet the understanding about the work of Christ in a New Testamentic way. Not yet the knowledge of and the experience of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so God was going to use Peter for this man. It's wonderful to see the ways of the Lord. He was not born a child of the covenant like the Jews were born a child of the covenant. Or we, if we are born in a congregation, born child of the covenant, and receive the sign of that in baptism, or in the Old Testament in circumcision. He didn't have that. But God brought him to the knowledge of the living God. So there's instruction in that. It's such a privilege. It's such a privilege to be born in the church as a child of the covenant, to receive the sign, like Paul says, is writing about in the letter to Romans, that you have the revelation about God and his will, and the sign of his covenant, and the promises of his word, the gospel. It's like God has put you at the door of salvation. But God is mighty to bring someone from far away, like we see Ruth and others in the Old Testament also, and bring them to the knowledge of the true God and to salvation by faith. And it can happen that those that are put at the door of salvation stand outside, like Scripture is teaching us. It is such a privilege not to rest in the privilege, as if that was sufficient, but to use the privilege, so that there will be the fruit of those privileges, the conviction in your heart of sin, and the need of a Savior, and also the surrender to the Savior and his work, to find forgiveness of your sins and help in the battle we have against sin and temptation. That's what we need. And that's what this man found. There will be from far away, from east and west, and sit in the kingdom with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And there will be children of the kingdom cast out. And here is one brought by the Lord. And God takes care that he will receive further instruction. So the Lord is bringing a message to this man, Cornelius. He saw in a vision an angel speaking to him. And this angel is instructing him that he has to send to Joppa and call one who is named Simon, and his surname is Peter. And he is in the house of a Simon, a tanner. So a tanner is a person who is preparing skins or hides of animals to use them for leather, for shoes or whatever. And so Peter is lodging there. And Cornelius has to send messengers to call Peter. When this angel is coming in a vision to Cornelius, he is afraid. And he says, "What is it, Lord?" And the Lord and the angel says, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." So you could see fruit, marks of grace in the life of this soldier, Cornelius. He was a man of prayer, and a man with a heart full of mercy and compassion for people in need, and who tried to provide by giving alms to them. And then the Lord comes to him and is revealing that he has to call Peter. So the Lord is going to lead him further, giving him deeper insight. And there is an encouragement in this. And when we read this, the encouragement is that the Lord will bless a life in the fear of the Lord. When we live a life of prayer because of the fear of the Lord and compassion for our neighbor, not in a way that we try to be good enough to be accepted, but as a fruit of grace, then the Lord is blessing that to give us more insight in his work and peace in our hearts. Now that's a question we have this morning. Can we say that those marks are in our life? That we have a life of prayer. That we understand the compassion of the Lord for me, a poor sinner, and for that reason have compassion with our neighbor, with people surrounding me. Scripture is clear about that. We will know the tree from the fruit. No, not to find our foundation in the fruit, but to give glory to God for it. And to be encouraged by it. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There's another lesson we can see here in this scripture part. You could say Cornelius was an outsider, Roman soldier. Didn't belong from origin to the people of the covenant. But God has been hearing his prayers. And God is providing guidance and instruction. And that's something we all need. We need guidance and instruction, but we can have those feelings that we feel, well, would God be willing to listen to my prayers? Would God be willing to provide in my need? Look who I am. I'm not worthy. I am such a sinner. And I live a life so far away from the Lord. Cornelius could have thought, well, you know, if it could be possible for the Jews, but for me, I'm a Roman soldier. I don't belong to the people of God. But God did provide for him. And I want to encourage you who struggle with this question, who feel like I'm not good enough. You know, my mind is always busy with the things of this world. My heart is full of lust and sinful desires. Cannot be for me. Now, that's not according to Scripture. God did come to the in the life of this Roman soldier and worked the fear of his name in his life, in his heart. It says here that he is a just man. They said, verse 22, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man and one that feared God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews. So if he is a just man, in the deepest sense of the word, which I assume and understand, that is by faith. By true faith in God, in his work. And it might be that it was, and that's what I see and what I believe, it's still in the shadows, in an Old Testamentic way. But they, in the Old Testament, were also saved by faith. Could also be just before God only by true faith. And so that's what we read about this Roman centurion. Cornelius, would it not be possible for you? Why do you think that? Why would you listen to the whispering of the devil who says, no, it's not for you. You're not good enough. And so he's twisting the truth. And there is truth in it that I am not good enough. But it is not true that it is not for me. Does the gospel not come to sinners like you and I? And so there is a way for you to be helped, to get out of this darkness of sin and unbelief, to walk in the light, and to receive further guidance and teaching like the Lord is providing for Cornelius. So God is guiding. It's something that is important. It's something that we have to look for our whole life, the guidance of the Lord for the salvation of our souls, but also for the salvation of others, to be used by God for this great need. The gospel has to go to the Gentiles, has to go to people wherever and whoever they are in this world. Their souls have to be saved. Oh, I feel that if it would depend on me or you, it would never happen. But it depends on the Lord, and that's why it happens. It is his faithfulness. We can be so indifferent about the soul of our neighbor, and oh, by nature we are. But God is taking care of to gather his church. So God is guiding, but he is also persuading. That's our second thought, our second point. And this man, Cornelius, he needed guidance. But there's someone else in this history who needs guidance. And you might not expect that at first sight, because this is Peter. You could say one of the first of the apostles, or the very first one, the leader. And he also needs guidance. He even needs persuasion. The Lord has to bring him to this task, that the gospel has to go to the Gentiles. He was not that ready, like you would expect he would be, or like he should be. So, and when you read his history, then you can see how perfect the work of the Lord is. He's not only working with Cornelius, sending an angel in a vision to him, but he's also working with Peter, to prepare him to go to do this speaking of the word, preaching of the gospel to Cornelius. God, you could say, is working at both sides. Of course, God is in control of all things, and he has the perfect timing, like we see in this history, and he has the ways to persuade people to do the things that we are not ready to do by nature. So Cornelius is sending messengers to, like the angel commanded him, to Joppa, which is a city also at the seaside, shores, you could say, near the sea. And it's like 30 or 35 miles south of where Cornelius lives, Caesarea. And so the messengers go. And there is Peter. And Peter is staying in the house of a tenor. Now that's interesting, because a tenor who had to deal with the dead animals, could say for that reason, by working with those dead animals, was unclean. But Peter is lodging at his house. So there is some understanding in the life of Peter that those ceremonial things are not that do not have the same weight like they had in the Old Testament. So Peter is, we find Peter there at the roof of the house of this man, Simon the tenor. And there he is to pray. We know the houses in Israel, they have flat roofs, and you could find a silent place to pray. The roof of the house. Yeah, we need those places. Yeah, we need our closets, you could say. Our silent places to find the face of the Lord to pray. At least, that's a question I could ask as well this morning. Do you feel the need of that? Do you feel I need those times with the Lord? Well, Peter did. So he was on the roof of this house and praying. And that is the very time that the Lord is giving him his guidance, a revelation, a vision. So again, you could say the Lord is blessing those times that we seek his face to provide us more guidance in our lives. Lord, how do we have to deal with the task that I've received as a parent, as a pastor, as a teacher, as a spouse, and all these things? We need the guidance of the Lord. As a priest in my family. And so prayer is so important, and in many situations God is blessing a life of prayer to instruct us, to grant us the Holy Spirit, to show us what we have to do and how we have to deal with difficult things. So while those messengers, on the morrow as they went on the journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. That's noon. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. So you could say he received a vision. And saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him. Certain vessel, it was like a great sheet, knit at the four corners and let down on the earth. And when Peter could look into this great vessel, this great sheet that was knit at the four corners and let down, what did he see there? Well, he saw all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, fowls of the air, all kinds of animals, full of animals. What an amazing sight. Can you see it before you, children? Peter saw it in a vision. Great vessel like a sheet that was hauled at the four corners and let down. What's that? What is the meaning of it? And there came a voice to him. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. So when you read the description of these animals, it's clear that there's a mixture of all kinds of animals, so also including unclean animals. And being together in that vessel made them unclean. And a Jew would not take those animals to kill them and eat them. It was disgusting for a Jew. That's unclean. That something you shouldn't do. That's not proper. That's against the law of Moses, the ceremonial law. So Peter is refusing. He never did it. No, not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. But the voice is speaking unto him again the second time. And it says, what God has cleansed, that call not thou common. Peter, you shouldn't say that. What God has cleansed, you shouldn't call it unclean or common. And so this whole thing happens three times. Three times. That makes it very powerful, very clear. If he would think after the first time, well, was that really what I saw or heard? There was a second time. And there was a third time. So there was no doubt about it. There was something that he had to learn in this situation. It happened three times. It was made most clear and sure and certain to Peter. Peter had a hard time with it. He wouldn't do this thing. So Peter is doubting about it. He's thinking about it in himself. What this vision which he had seen should mean. Yeah, so what can we learn from this situation? The first thing we could say is, what a power habits have in our life. Peter was brought up in this way, that he would never eat anything unclean. We should not underestimate the power of habits. There are good habits. It's a good habit to have your fixed times, to be silent in prayer before the Lord, to have a certain time every day to read Scripture. It is such a blessing if we have the habit to go to the house of the Lord whenever the doors are opened, not once but twice on the Lord's day, to be in God's house, to be under His Word. There's no discussion about it. That's where we have to be. That makes life more easy, isn't it? We don't have to think, would I go today? No, we just go. Because the Lord is giving us the privilege to hear His Word. That's how we bring up our children. That's how we give them an example. And that's such a blessing to have that habit. I know. Oh, there should be more than the habit. There should be hunger and thirst in our hearts for the righteousness. Oh, to have these good habits. The Lord in many situations has blessed it for the salvation of souls. And the Lord so many times usually is working in this line of the generations, in the covenant, that it is coming from parents to children to grandchildren, and that we give them the example that in that way we lead and guide them in the things of the Lord. Don't underestimate the importance of the good habits and good examples. But it can also be a trial in things that we have learned in our youth. Like Peter, he had never done this and now it changed. Or there might be things that we have learned and that were not according to God's word. There was a teaching in our youth and it was not really balanced or scriptural, and we get stuck in it. we kind of hit the wall. We make no progress in our spiritual lives. We are confused about it. It is so deep in our lives, like Peter had this understanding that it was not allowed to eat something that was ceremonially unclean. And so there can be teaching that was even received in the church that put a darkness over our soul or heart and keeps us away from fleeing to Christ, that maybe made us more look to self instead of looking to Christ and the cross and His work, looking for conditions in ourselves or experiences to find something that we might come to the Lord. And there's no understanding of the fullness of grace, that there will never be anything in you that you could take, like take it in your hand and show the Lord, "Lord, here I have something, so now I dare to come. Now I might be acceptable by thee." That's not the gospel, because you are never, and you will never be, with anything that you have in yourself. Because then grace would be no more grace. Grace means I do not deserve it. Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm helpless. That you wouldn't only say that, but that you are persuaded about it. And that you in that way come to the Lord and say, "Lord, save me." But do I not first need more? Always that but. Do I not need first? That's our nature. But the gospel says, "Behold." The word of God says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, Christ." Why would you not listen to the word when it says, "Behold"? But as I do need more insight in my depravity. Okay, well then I say, "Behold, the Lamb of God." You want insight in your condemnation, your sinfulness? "Behold, the Lamb of God." Look what your sins have done to Him. Look what your sins are. There you find it. Behold. But you say, "Well, I need more self-discipline in my life. It cannot be that this way I am, that I could be saved." Yeah, you need more self-discipline. I agree. I need it too. So what do I say? Behold the Lamb of God. He has spoken unto me, has given all authority in heaven and on earth. He can provide that self-discipline in your life. You have it not, and you will find never find it. You don't have it, you know, never find it in yourself. But in Him you will find it. I am not saying that you will stay the same you are. No, that cannot be. But I preach you this morning, come the way you are, with all your impossibility and all your depravity and guilt, to this Savior. Oh, that you would be persuaded. What is keeping you back? Peter was kept back by this understanding he had in his mind. What is keeping you back? But I find a deep comfort in the knowledge that the Lord is able to persuade you like He did to Peter. So Cornelius needed instruction. Of course, he was a Roman centurion. But Peter needed instruction too, even after he had walked for 3 years with the Lord. So there's another lesson. God's children will always be in need of instruction. Lord, lead me and guide me. There will never be any point in this life on earth that you could be satisfied and say, "Now I got it in such a way that I don't need any more enlightening or instruction of the Spirit in my life." No. Peter needed it, and you do too. But what a shame, is it? I mean, the Lord told him. The Lord told them about the gospel going to all nations. And now, Peter, why do you not see it and understand it? So Peter is doubting about it. But then something happens. The men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon Peter was lodged there. And Peter still thinking on the vision. Then the Spirit is speaking to him. Well, how does it happen? How does the Spirit speak to Peter? It doesn't fully explain. But the Spirit says, behold, three men seek thee. We don't know if the Spirit spoke in an audible voice or if the Spirit gave him that in a powerful way in his mind, this thought, this thing, but the Spirit did it. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So how good is the Lord, that the Lord is making things so clear. It's encouraging, isn't it? That while we might be struggling and try to find understanding, that we do know that the Lord is ready, able, and willing to give insight. Do you struggle with the understanding of the Word? Well, the Spirit is the author of the Word and can give you light, children, young people, adults. He can give you the answer and the insight so that you may be persuaded about what God's will and way is, especially the way of salvation, but also for your daily life. What a perfect timing. God is in control of this situation. God is in control of my life. God is in control of this whole world. And nothing happens outside of His counsel. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 270, stanza 1 through 4. 270, stanza 1. O make a joyful noise, ye lands, and serve the Lord with fear. 270, all stanzas. Congregation, but it is a shame, isn't it, that we need this persuading work of the Lord in so many situations in our lives. Where the Lord had spoken to the apostles, there he still had to provide his vision and the speaking of the Spirit powerfully in the heart of Peter to bring him to the persuasion he had to go to Cornelius. And isn't it the same with us? We have to be ashamed about that. That we are not so ready like we should be to see our duty, to fulfill our duty. And at the same time, there's a great comfort in that God's counsel happens. And that God has ways to fulfill his counsel and to bring people to their duty and their calling. And that happens to Peter. And Peter went down to meet them. And then they relay the story about Cornelius. And it's about the desire that they want to hear words. Cornelius, to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. So Peter, you have to come to hear words. God is fulfilling his counsel. Yes, it is all his work. But God is using words spoken by people, his servants or his children in this world. And so Peter has to go there. Of course God could do it in another way. Of course God could fulfill his counsel by sending an angel to proclaim the gospel. But God is using man. That's his common way in this world, to speak to others the words of the gospel. And so Peter has to go to Cornelius. And he is going there. And then while he is there, the Holy Spirit is coming, filling that room where they are. And so they have a most blessed time. God is a surprising God in situations that we do not expect it to happen there. Many times the Holy Spirit is showing his power and the power of the gospel. Take that home with you. Take that in your hearts. Living in a world full of darkness, full of people that have no hope because they don't know God and don't know Christ. God is a surprising God. And that he is working in unexpected situations. It didn't fit in the mind of Peter. A Jew going in the house of a Gentile? No, he wouldn't do that. But he had to go there. And God worked there. That's so encouraging. That's so such a matter of joy and so hopeful. I hope you understand something of that. We are no different from Peter, are we? We have our mindset. You think, well, God is usually working in this way and that way and with such people. And you have to be like this and we have to look like that. And then God might work in your life. But God is free. The Word is free and the Spirit is free. So be careful. Be careful that you don't judge people at forehand because of some knowledge that you do have of them. Or the outward way they look like, and you think, well, actually, it's useless to go there. I mean, it's a waste of time and energy. This person will certainly not believe. This person is too far away. It's too much different. That will not work. This person will not listen to the gospel. This person would not be changed by God. We have to see that is dishonoring the Lord. as if there's not power in God to convince any person, to bring conviction in any heart, and to work faith in any life. And that's a lesson that we can receive here, that the Lord worked in Cornelius, the centurion, and Peter had to go there, and God would use his words. I don't know what to say, Pastor. I mean, there might be situations. I understand that. So you need to pray for the Holy Spirit. You read about the power of the Holy Spirit, persuading. You might have to pray that the Holy Spirit will persuade you of the need and necessity to go to people, to speak to them. Well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not prepared to preach. You don't have to preach. Why would you not give just a simple testimony of who God is for you? Maybe one sentence. Might be one sentence. And that might be an arrow that God is shooting in the heart of that person. And that person might try to pull it out but not be able to. It will stick there and come to his or her mind. Maybe because of a hard situation, circumstances. And this person might be humbled, broken in a way that he or she will start to seek. Read the Bible. I want to know that. What I heard, that testimony, that witnessing, I want to know that too. So maybe just a few words. And don't forget about your walk in life. Do people see something of Christ in you? Sincerely walking with the Lord is such a powerful testimony in this world. It's so different from the attitude that people have in the world, because it's not about me. When I think all the time about me, about myself, then I don't understand much about Christ. But to live with Christ, then it's about Him. And in that way, the focus is not on myself. And people will tell that, because this world is full of selfishness. We are born that way. The focus on myself, my glory, my honor, my power, my position, my name, it's all about me. God is going to change that, and let it be so that's a question, of course. When I say, let it be a testimony, just tell something about who God is to you and what He has done to your heart and what grace means to you. And the sweetness of that word for you. And the sweetness of the knowledge of Christ, the Savior. But then, of course, the question is, do you know it in your own heart? Do you have a personal knowledge? A saving knowledge of Christ? And if you have to say, no, I don't have that, I have to say that is a most sad situation, a most dangerous situation, and a situation that has to change, and that can change. It changed in the life of Cornelius. And how many examples are there in this world and in Scripture? And so, what does that change mean? It means simply that you become before God who you are. That you see it and acknowledge it. And it also means that Christ becomes to you who He is. That you see it like it is to be seen in Scripture and embrace it. But then I have to do this and that and to live like that standard, and I'm not sure if I can make it. No, who told you that? Christ will live in you, and He will be the one that who does that great work, that you will be transformed to His image, but not in a way that you perform so that people will be like amazed about who you are, but that they will be amazed about who Christ is. Do you understand it? Do you believe it? Oh, this is the plan of God of salvation. And it happens in this world. And it has to happen. The gospel has to go to Gentiles, has to go to everybody, has to go to every soul in this life to be saved by the blood of Christ. Do you see the preciousness of souls? The value. One soul has more value than everything in this world. All the riches of this world. All the glory, the gold and the silver. That's what Scripture says. What would it profit man if he would gain the whole world and would lose his soul? If you would gain the whole world and lose your soul, you have nothing. And there's such a joy in heaven. So let it be a joy for you. There's such a joy in heaven where one sinner is saved and the counsel of God is seen. Counsel his plan of salvation in the lives of sinners. So it has to be. It will be a joy for you too. Do you want to have a happy life? A joyful life? Well, seek the guidance of the Lord. The persuasion of the Lord. About the need for the salvation of souls. And to be used by the Lord according to his counsel. And you will have something of that joy of heaven in your heart. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we come before thee. We thank thee, Lord, for thy goodness, that thou art saving sinners, and that the gospel is spread all over the world. And we pray, Lord, that thou would call also in our congregation to labor in thy vineyard. Oh, we work hard. We try to gain the things of this world. What does it profit us if we would lose our soul, O Lord, and to work for the salvation of souls is providing a deep and lasting joy that will be full in heaven, where we will sing the song of Moses and the Lamb, and where we will cast our crowns at the feet of the Lamb, and where we will cry, "Thou art worthy to receive all the glory, the honor, and the praise." Lord, that we may have that guidance, persuasion, insight in thy counsel and plan to be used by thee, like Peter was. He did go. He became willing. It is thy work, and it happens. And it will continue to happen till the last day, till Christ returns in glory. Oh, let a day come soon. What a great day. Lord, we thank thee for thy goodness shown to us. We also pray, Lord, for Mr. and Mrs. Burku, Lord, they hope to have their 64th anniversary. Lord, thou hast kept them together all those years. As thy goodness and mercy, Lord, thou hast blessed them in many ways, with children and grandchildren, Lord. We pray that thou would continue to bless them and their family. Also in the older age, Lord, provide in all their needs for soul and body. Lord, it's about thy name, about thy glory. Lord, we pray that thou will do it, so that we will rejoice in thee. Keep us when we go home on the dangerous roads, Lord. We thank thee for protecting also in traveling in this last week those that traveled, Lord. It's thy goodness that thou hast spared. And that we may have a day to ponder these things, to meditate on these things, and to have a taste of heaven and an experience of guidance and the speaking of the Spirit by thy word to us. For thy kingdom, for souls, Lord, we pray, hear us In Jesus' name, amen.